Have a good night of Shabbos, a good night of Shabbos, is it true? Yeah, no, not that kind of change. Other change is good. Have a good night of Shabbos, what it's supposed to be. First of all, Chavra, I appreciate everybody accommodating the time change, I figure, so as not to conflict a little bit with Mincha Ma'ariv. A tremendous Heshkok to Reb Tzvi, who week after week continues to amaze us with culinary delights. Also, those of you who come to Smichas Chavar, this is a good, little bit of a good chazara, because the shaila of what you did when you ate your pickle tonight. Right? So just a little chazara. Everything collides in a beautiful Yerushalmi. You should take a look. You take a picture of that Yerushalmi status, of that Yerushalmi kogel. It should become your WhatsApp status. I'm just saying, look how beautiful. Look at it. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. The kavod yom Yerushalayim, the kavod Eretz Yisrael. So, tremendous Heshkok to Reb Tzvi for really each and every week, just making it so beautiful. Steve, who is our sponsor? Seth from Allentown Phillips.
Is that the right order? Seth from Allentown.
Okay. Seth Phillips from Allentown, who's a new member of the shul. Actually, Baruch Shem just joined the shul today. So it's a great schos Baruch Shem. Wow. I think they're moving here shortly.
In two weeks.
Okay, we thank Seth for the beautiful mashke tonight. And Kram Mashkoch. And of course, a tremendous Heshkok to Reb Steve, who really works so hard every single week to make sure that all of the logistics of the shiur are together. Baruch Hashem. It's a really, it's very special. Very special to be able to sit here and learn the words of the Kiyah Jetzna together. And Aruch Hashem, it's also beautiful to see everybody on their third dinner tonight. So it's also Aruch Hashem, Mika Amcha Yisrael. It's incredible, right? It's beautiful. Okay, Chavra, let's begin. So tonight we are continuing Emir Hashem in a beautiful piece regarding the Kiyah Jetzna music. So tonight we're going to Emir Hashem conclude it. We are picking up on page 43. Page 43, right in the second paragraph, the second full paragraph on the page, V'yesh Lefamim. It's the second V'yesh Lefamim. There's two of them there. So, Chavra, so remember again, just reorient ourselves a little bit. Remember again that the Piaget was talking about the power of music, and specifically talking about the idea that music has the ability to really open up the neshama, to allow the neshama to converse with that Kodesh Baruch. Remember again the imagery that the Piaget, you know, every once in a while, it feels like every single week, the Piaget provides, you know, some beautiful imagery that just like sticks with you, right? So of course we have our beautiful Shalashudis imagery, which we recall every single week. And then lastly, if you remember again, the Piyajetzna said that if you want music to impact you, what should you do? Remember again, he said, Hasid Panecha Alakir, turn to a wall. Or literally again, just be alone with yourself and just choose any particular niggun, right? Go ahead, imagine yourself as if you're standing before the Kisei HaKavod, the throne of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and just begin to sing. And when you begin to sing, you're going to awaken your neshama. And after enough time of awakening your neshama, what ends up happening? Your neshama awakens you. After enough time of you awakening your neshama ultimately awakens you. That's the power of music, power of shira, the ability to go ahead and awaken the soul. So we'll say with that same thing, let's continue. It says, V'yesh Lepamim, page 43, middle of the page. V'yesh Lepamim, we'll say this is incredible. Still continuing on the power of music. Shelo yisoreru b'cha b'diburim v'lo sargish shum bakasha. See, Rabbi say, we are very used to, when we speak about dialogue with Hashem, so we are very used to understanding dialogue in the context of supplication or petition. In other words, why do I dialogue with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or when do I dialogue with Hashem? When I need something. But now the Piyajetzna says, sometimes, look at his words over here, V'yesh Lepamim, there are sometimes, Shelo yis'orichu b'cha diburim. Sometimes you're going to feel connected to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but you don't have words. I don't have something I have to say. There's nothing I'm asking for. Right? So there's nothing particularly I want to say. And there's nothing particularly I need. Let's say, right? Imagine a moment, and we've all had moments like that, where I want to feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, or I do feel close to Hashem. I don't have anything to say. I don't have anything that I need in this particular moment. Umikom makom, targish eza hagosha. She efshar lecha litzayer ma'ata magish. I have to tell you, this is the first time in my life the Piyajetzna gives words to an emotional experience that hopefully we all experience at different times in life. These moments where I feel close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? I feel a hargasha. I feel a closeness. I feel a sense of connection. But I don't need anything right now. I don't have any words right now. And I can't even explain the connection, the feeling that I'm experiencing. I can't explain it. He says, Min hisrafkosi. Hisrafkos is like a lashon of closeness. It's just the type of closeness. Look what he gives over here. Kielad, listen to this. Kielad shemechat lifnei avik. So you know what it's like? It's like a child. I don't know what the right word is. See, you have enough ice. This is enough. It's more than enough. You want like a beer mug or something? Come on. Any more cans? Yeah, any more cans? Yeah. Please. You want a bottle of champagne or something? Do you want like a? So, Harrison.
Way he made the entire spread.
We
are so thankful.
He's like, I'm going to open whatever I want. I'm going to rustle my hands around in the ice.
I'm going to take
some
more now. Take
a
ball and go home.
So listen to this mashal that he's saying. He's saying, sometimes, kiyalet shemechat lefnei aviv. I would say, so you know, I don't know the good English translation for this word, mischate, but I would almost use the word like snuggle up. It's like a little child who snuggles up against his father. What does that mean? He says, "Eino rotze me'uma me'aviv." He doesn't want anything from his father. I say, my daughter had to run out to go to the supermarket. So, Baruch Hashem, she has a baby, a little baby, you know, my little grandson. So she said, could I watch him? So of course, I said, except I got the message like an hour later. So I ran home. My wife was watching. So I took the baby just for a moment. I just sat down. It was incredible. So what did he do? So he was just falling asleep, and they put him. I was just holding him, and it was fascinating. So what he did is like I was like leaning at an angle, and he just like kept like inching up. He wanted to get like right here. Like he wanted just to like. Like it's almost like there's like a natural like a baby just naturally like snuggling up. So sometimes a child goes to a parent and the child wants to just be close to the parent. The child doesn't want anything. I'm not asking for anything. But listen to this. Rakhome umisaneach avi avi. Sometimes the child just goes ahead, and this is obviously about a little bit of an older child. He runs to his father. He snuggles up with his father, and he says, "Abba, Abba, my father, my father." And the father says, "Ha'av Shoel, ma'atarotze b'ni, my son, what do you want?" And what does the child say? "Klum humoshivo." Either the child says nothing, or the child doesn't answer at all. "V'shuv hona umisaneach, avi avi." But then the child again says, "Daddy, daddy, Abba, Abba, father, father." So see, do you hear what the Piaget is describing over here? It's such a profound moment. Either if you remember it as a child doing it to your father, or if you remember your own children doing it to you. This idea that sometimes a child runs over to a parent, just runs into the embrace of the parent, calls out the name, Abba, Abba, and of course, as adults, we're conditioned to think, yeah, you're calling my name, what do you want? And the child doesn't want anything. The child does want something, but the child can't even articulate what it is that he wants. What does he want?
It's not something tangible.
He just wants to be close. He just wants to be helped. He just wants to be close. He just wants to nestle into his father and just be. And just be. And he keeps on saying, Abba, Abba. And the father keeps on saying, the father keeps on saying, what? Right? What? Tell me, what do you want? And the son just doesn't answer. Because the father doesn't understand, right? The father takes the request for Abba, Abba as what something you physically need. And the son is meanwhile saying, Abba, you don't say, I have what I need. What I need is just to be here with you. That's all I need. I don't need anything more. He says, Kidalacha, Shebe'inyan darche eskalos hanefesh, Yesh harbe pamin lilma min ayelet. The Piagetzna says, I was saying, when it comes to understanding our neshamas, there's a lot you could understand. There's a lot you could learn from children. He says, kol ma'asav eina bekavona. Children, also, this is incredible. Children, literally translated, means their actions are without intent. Now, what does that mean? I think the better way to say it is, children's actions are often not premeditated. They're just spontaneous. So I will say, here's what's interesting. Listen to what I think the Piaget is trying to say. Premeditated action comes from where? Comes from where?
The seichel.
The mind. Spontaneous action comes from the neshama. The neshama. Children are all neshama. Children are all neshama. That's why often, again, with children, for good and for bad, their whole life is just spontaneity, right? I feel like doing this. I feel like running across the street. Like, not all spontaneity is good, right? Spontaneity, this goes back, I think this was Nehemiah's point last week, after the Bud Light statement. Right? So I say, I'm not letting go of that. I'm not letting go of that anytime soon. So someone has to be the karba. Someone has to be the karba. No, that was pretty egregious. So
put more icing.
Yeah. So, Hever, so you know, obviously, and also what Nehemiah brought up last week is obviously, to be clear, you can never have neshama without intellect, right? Because then that could be a train wreck. The problem is too often in life, it's seichel, it's intellect without neshama. So what he's saying is, so what's happening over here? The child runs over to the parent, right? And the child just like snuggles and nestles into the parent. What's driving that? What's driving that? Is the child thinking with his, is it a premeditated action? It's been a while since I've been physically affectionate or demonstrative of my love to my parents. I don't want them to feel neglected or unloved or underappreciated. I really should go and fit in a hug. No, rather, what happens? You ask the kid, what do you think? He's like, I don't know, right? And he's not thinking. He's not thinking. He's just acting. He's just acting because what his neshama understands is that's my father. That's my father. And all I want is just to be close. So the father, of course, the adult, who does think with the mach, who does think with the mind, hears his son say, Abba, Abba. So premeditated, intellectual father says, what do you want? And meanwhile, the baby, the child, doesn't understand what the father, what are you asking? What do you mean? I have what I want. I just want to be close to you. I don't want anything else. I'm not here because of my moach. I'm here because my neshama brought me to you, my father. And the Piagetzna says, Rabbi said, by the way, I just want to point out even before we go on. This is what David HaMelech meant when he said in Tehillim, I quoted this. Somebody asked me. I've quoted. Everybody asked me for this pasuk. David HaMelech says, Va'ani kirvas Elokim litov. For me, we actually quoted in Gemara Sota not so long ago. Va'ani for me. Closeness to Hashem is good. Let's say, what is David HaMelech describing when he says, Kirvas Elokim Litov, what is he describing? He's describing this. Ribono Shel Olam. Do you know what the best moments in life are? The best moments? It's not when I'm crying to you because I need something. And it's not when I'm running to you because like I'm desperate. Those aren't the best moments. The best moments are just when I'm with you. But what happens? And HaKadosh Baruch Hu's there, Kiviyach, and he's saying, okay, what do you want? What do you want? And I'm saying, nothing. Nothing. What I want is this. What I want is this. I just want to be close. I just, for a couple of minutes in life, I just want to be a child. I just want to be a child. And I just want to have that moment of just emotional spontaneity and connection without anything premeditated. I don't need anything. I'm not lacking anything. I just want to be close to you.
Go back to what the Rosh said a few minutes ago about, I'm paraphrasing, but about the neshama of a child being, I guess, immature. Is the neshama mature, or is the neshama where it needs to be? The mind is immature, and therefore...
It's a better way to say it. It's just, there's an underdeveloped intellect. Mm-hmm. So when there's an underdeveloped intellect, essentially, again...
Because the neshama comes in whole,
correct.
As it should be.
The neshama's in the... Essentially, mm-hmm. The neshama's in the driver's seat. Now, again, to be clear...
And it's limited.
Correct.
Especially at that stage.
Correct. And again, there could definitely be a sense of danger in all of this. That's for sure as well. So we'll say, let's go weiter. He goes on, he says, a child's actions, right, are not with premeditated intent. They're not with premeditated intent. So here it is. For a child, the neshama just comes out. Oh, we had a safe. You know, I'm so cute. Is that an extra safer over there? We have, if anybody wants. There's plenty of swarm. It's also down here if anyone needs. It's next to the Bud Light. It's next to the Bud Light. No, not you. That was not you. That was not you. No. That was not you. That was not you. That was. Tara, let's go, Mike. Let's go, Mike. Okay, that was it. That was last one. Right. That was it. Tara, let's go. Let's go. Right. He says as follows. He says, Rak me'asavos is incredible. Komasav ina bekavana. The actions of a child aren't premeditated. They're not driven by the intellect. Rak me'atzmo nafsha misgalavos. Listen to these words. By a child, the neshama just comes out on its own. Ba'ofanim shonim va'osim tenuos u'ma'asim kefi tenuos nafsho. It's really what Reb Steve was just saying before. I was saying, it's so interesting. Do you know what a child is? A child is a human being with a fully formed neshama and an underdeveloped intellect. So what happens when the neshama is fully formed and the intellect is underdeveloped? Interestingly enough, the neshama is in the driver's seat. That's it. That's why a child, I would say, do you ever wonder what it is, right? It's right. People go crazy over babies and little children, right? You ever see this? Like, grown adults will start making faces, start making noises, right? And they'll start cooing, they'll start this. What's the pshat? Let's say, because deep down, what we're drawn to is a being that is kulo neshama. When I see that baby, even before the baby could do anything, what I know I'm looking at is like, I need to be like that. Because that's a person, so to speak. That's a person whose neshama is in the driver's seat of life. Their intellect is not right. Their neshama is driving everything. Their neshama is driving everything. Piagetzna says we have to strive to be more like that. He goes on. I'm sorry, let's cover a little bit of ground. He says, Rakmi Atzma Nafsho Miskala Bafanam Shon about Osa Tnos Umasik Vinos Nash Nafsho. A child acts. Again, his actions are totally driven by his neshama. Vigam Hitu Ize Hishtapchus Nafsho Nefesh Avivu. We'll say that's why when he snuggles up against his father, like we said, there's nothing premeditated that's occurring over here, right? There's no forethought as to what's happening. What's occurring on an emotional nefesh level, neshama level, the child is just connecting with his father. He just wants to be close to his father. V'gam ato, so we'll say, look at the Piaget, now linking it back. Piaget says, V'gam ato, lefamim targish binigunecha min hamin v'chitui. So we'll say, music sometimes has the ability to allow us to experience the same thing. And we'll say, you know, again, like we said in last week's share, you know, what the Piagetzna is describing that music does, we'll agree, it doesn't do it for everyone. Right? And a person shouldn't feel like, oh my gosh, music doesn't do this for me, what's wrong with me? Nothing's wrong with you. Again, there are harbe drachim yesh lamakom. There are many pathways to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Here the Piagetzna happens to be describing the power of music. So remember, again, let's go back to the beginning of the paragraph. Yeah.
Why is it that, more of a psychological question, but why is it that sometimes when we hear music, whether without words or with words, you hear a song or music, it triggers something of memory. It could be good, bad, or otherwise. Is it something, is it triggering in shamik?
Right.
Or is it what?
Music, I don't know, doctors? Maybe. We have all the psychologists over here. I don't know.
It triggers a bad memory?
No, Adam David is saying is that music is often triggers memory. In other words, good, bad, whatever it is.
Out everything else. You're focusing only on one. You can't think about something else while you're thinking about music. It's not possible.
It's all encompassing.
Yeah, so it just brings you down to yourself, to the one thing that's there. Sometimes that triggers
a whole bunch of thoughts.
Right.
Yeah. I could study with music in the
background. In the background, we're not focusing on the
right.
Music then.
What's
I think maybe the music came out at a certain.
Connected to memory.
I'm sorry, say that again.
A lot of the senses are neurologically connected.
To memory. It's like a, interesting.
It could be trauma.
It could be anything. Right. I don't know. That's fascinating.
Smells.
Like that woman in the burnt.
Right. The Sigmund Freud story. Right. With the burnt bread. Right. True. All right, Chavis. Let's finish up. So the Piagetzna says this. House. Tonight we're finishing music. So the Piagetzna says. It's only. We're almost done. Listen to what he says. Let's go back first. Remember, how did this paragraph start? The Piagetzna says that sometimes the power of music is that it allows you a connective experience that is not rooted in need or supplication. He will say, so many times the nature of our relationship with Hashem is I'm drawn to HaKadosh Baruch Hu because there's a need. Now, I want to point out, that's by design, right? The Chafetz Chaim comments, we say, Borei nefashos rabos v'chasronam. Right, to make a bracha on a borei nefashos. What do we say? Hashem creates many nefashos, many souls, and their deficiencies. Ask the Chafetz Chaim, what kind of praise is that for HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Right, imagine you're by someone's house for dinner. Right, thanks. Right, the food was delicious, but you know, try a little bit more salt in the soup next time. Right, some people do that. They're usually in my office. Right, the next week. Right. But Lemaisa, like you know, that's not how you give compliments. In other words, right, you go ahead and you give a What do you mean, brain? God, you're so great. You create so many souls and their deficiencies. The Chafetz Chaim says is that that's by design. The deficiency is not like it's not like right, perfectly imperfect. Hashem Baruch Hu created an imperfect world perfectly. It's the lashon of the Maharal, right? Or the deficiencies are by design. Why are they by design? Because Ribono Shel Olam needed a hook to keep us connected. If man was fully self-sufficient, I don't need God. I don't need God. So there's no relationship. So he creates each of us with our deficiency, with that which we lack.
Who did feel fully self-sufficient, so to speak. We still needed God. People are the avos.
You always need God, but the avos themselves never felt fully self-sufficient. No, whoever felt self-sufficient in this world? Person who said, I have, again, Yaakov Avinu said, Yeshli Kol, in a material sense, right. Right, but not in a spiritual sense, not in a familial sense. So by definition, that lacking is there, I'm sorry, that lacking is there by, no, you go back, I'm good. That lacking is there by design. It's by design to create relationship. So we'll say, so I want to point out, what the Piaget is describing, however, over here, is that the ability to connect, not because I need something, but just the ability to connect for the sake of connection. And he says that could often be accomplished through the mechanism of Shira. Sometimes the power of music is that music creates a connective experience like the son snuggling up against his father and just saying, Abba, Abba. Music could transport you into the loving embrace of your father. And when you're there, what do you need? Why? I'm going to say Abba, Abba. And my Abba's going to say, what do you need? And what am I going to answer? Nothing. I have it. You're holding me. I'm with you. That's all I need. Says the Piaget. And he says, Rak nafshecha meranenes umishtapachas umifaletes, right? Ribono shalom. Rak ribono shalom, ribono shalom. Rather, we'll say what music could do is create this connective experience where ultimately, again, my soul is singing, my soul is gushing forth, and all I keep repeating is, Ribono Shel Olam, Ribono Shel Olam. Abba, Abba, Tata, Tata. That's all. And that, says the Piagetzna, is the power of music. Music is not necessarily the mechanism that's used in moments of supplication. Right? The power of music, is not necessarily that it creates the platform for me to ask for things from God. The truth is, there is a platform to ask for things. What's the platform to ask for things? Tefillah. That's davening. The whole davening experience is really structured around that. Burning the fashos rabos v'chasronam, all of my deficiencies. The power of music is that I become the child, just snuggling up against my father, where I'm not here for something. I'm not here because my intellect drove me here. I'm just here because I want to connect, because I want to be close. V'lav dafka, Nebosa here is great. So v'lav dafka, benigun shel shvira slav. Piagetzna writes, don't think we're only talking about sad songs. Now, this is a little bit, to me, I'm like a sad song guy. Right? Chagrin, right? Of many others. Okay, right, yeah, everyone, right? So he says, just understand, he's like, because based on what he's describing, you might think to yourself, well, you know what, like, okay, I hear this. You know when this occurs? When does this occur? With a good hartzig niggin. A good, like, slow, sad, like, emotionally volcanic song that, like, awakens in me every single little bit of emotion. And then it's in that moment where, like, I'm sobbing like a baby in the arms of my father. You can't even ask me what I want because I can't even get out a word. Right? Because no. It's not just by sad songs. He says, Rak gam benigun shel simcha. No, this is true even with a beautiful lebedig niggin. Bekulam. The power of music is not only with sad music, right? The power of music is not only with the slow niggin, but the power of music is with anything, right? Even the fast, happy niggin. Bose, listen to this lashon. He says, Bose, this is the best line. Page 44. How does the chassid listen to this? Well, say, here's how you know if you're a good chassid. Number one, you cry. Even during fast songs, v'gam b'shas rikidaso, and sometimes you even cry while you're dancing. Olapamim, roked gam benigun shel kol nidre, and sometimes you even want to get up and dance during kol nidre. That's a chassid. A chassid knows how to dance during the slowest niggin, how to dance during the slowest niggin, and how to go ahead and cry during dancing, and during kol nidre, knows how to get up, knows how to cry, but also knows how to get up and dance. That's a chassid. See, I will say, and here it is. You know what a chassid really is? A chassid is someone who knows how to be in touch with his emotions. Definition of a chassid is not someone who follows a particular rebbe, right? Because the truth is, no one should follow one rebbe, because the truth is, in life, you need many rebbes. You need many rebbes, many different rebbes. And Baruch Hashem, right? Right? Like, again, like, today, amazing enough, no one says they're chassid of the Baal Shem Tov. I don't know, there should be some chassid of the Baal Shem Tov, right? Chassid of the Magid of Mezrich. Let's say, because the whole derech of the Baal Shem Tov was, doesn't have to be a rebbe, doesn't have to be a rebbe, because no one rebbe could give you every single thing that you need, right? The beautiful part is, right? Just like we don't have one av and one aim, right? We have three avos. We have four imos, because different people convey to you differently. But what it means to be a chassid on the core level is the ability to tap into the realm of emotion. That's what it means to be a chassid. Can you cry while you're dancing and dance while you're crying? That's what it means to be a chassid. Now we'll say, let's finish off this section. Lachin, kishetiyeh becheras chassidim. We'll say, this is great. So therefore, when you're in a group of chassidim, we're just going to finish this paragraph, then we'll stop for tonight. Therefore, lachin, kishetiyeh becheras chassidim. Listen to this. When you're with a group of chassidim. So we'll say, here, what is this? It's a cheras chassidim, right? We're all a group of chassidim, right? We're all ultimately trying to be a chass. We're all trying to come in contact with our emotion. We're trying to become b'nei machshava tova. That's our goal. So listen to this. B'shashem enagdim im betfila besuda. So whenever you're sitting with a group of people, and the people are singing, whether they are singing by davening, or whether they're singing by the suuda, o ba'ofen acher, tiranin gam ata imahem. Always sing with the group. Always sing with the group. He says, lo rak lashmiya kol b'chinas nesan alai b'kola. So I'll say, don't be one of those guys who has to be the loudest voice in the group. Don't be that guy. Don't be, no one likes that guy. Right, right? And he usually has the worst voice, right? Don't be that guy. You know, in other words, the goal is not to be the loudest, right? Rakede lahotzi es nafshecha. I'll say, the goal is, if you're with a chevra, hilag yechevra, and they're davening and singing, or they're sitting and farbringing and singing, you got to get in on that. You have to get in on that. Because what's unfolding over there is the opportunity to allow your soul to come out of its shell, to nestle up next to your father, to allow the neshama to come into the driver's seat, to put the intellect on the side just for a little while, and allow yourself to become a fully emotional being. Ulalosa bechinas vayhi kinagina menagi v'tel ruach Hashem min nigun hachupa shemezavik esachasen v'akala v'day lohavin. I will say, this is such an incredible statement. The Piaget says, you know what it's like? It's like the nigun, like the song of the chupa that brings together achasen and kala v'day lohavin. Right? And Piaget says, enough said. I will say, every couple has that song that somehow reminds them of their connection with one another. Maybe it triggers a memory, right? But has that song that reminds them of their connection with one another. The Piagetzna says, I need my song with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when you're with the Chevra that's singing, participate. V'lav dafka, he says, V'lav rosei. So I just want to point out, by the way, this is very important. Because we'll say, a lot of times it happens that we're with the chevra, and the chevra's singing. And what am I doing in the chevra singing? What am I doing? I'm schmoozing. Right? I'm having a conversation. And we'll say, the truth is, I'll tell you a little secret. In general, you know, some people get like very upset when people are talking during davening, or people are talking during shiurim, or things like that. It never really upsets me. Ice upsets me. But talking doesn't. Well, I will say, because the truth is, there's something beautiful, something so beautiful about Jews getting along with each other in a chevra shaft. But I will say, that being said, if the chevra is singing or the chevra is dancing, right? I will say, again, this is important. Shabbos night, Friday night, right? We dance by Kabbalah Shabbos. You can't be that guy who sits by his chair. You can't, right? Everybody's walking around. You're avoiding eye contact, right? Pretending like you're davening. You've been on the same page for 17 minutes, right? Either you don't read Hebrew, right? Or whatever, right? Right? So the mice are like, You can't do that. You can't do that. You can't be the guy that's not tapping into the experience. The tzibur is dancing. The tzibur is singing. Do you know what that means? Do you know what that means when that's happening? Do you know what's unfolding over here? There's an neshamatic experience over here. There's something, but you say, I'm not a dancer. Learn to be a dancer. Because what it means to be a chassid is the ability to tap into the mediums that allow you to fully spiritually self-actualize. And singing is part of that. And the rikud and dancing is part of that. I don't mean you don't have to be the guy who starts the dancing. But lamaisa, if the tzibur is dancing, if the tzibur is singing, you can't sit on the... I'm not saying it's not on the... I'm saying you can't sit on the sidelines because you're allowing yourself to miss out on something so beautiful and so special. Chairman, take your questions. Just finish the paragraph. He says, "V'lav dafka b'shas she'ata b'cheres chasidim b'shas she'mnagdim rak kam b'vesecha b'cholis." So I'll say, by the way, this whole power of singing, don't think it's just a group experience. It's not just when you're in shul or when you're at Shalosh Shudis or when you're at a Thursday night piyajatz nashir, right? Again, it's look what he writes. He said, it's even when you're alone in your home. B'cholis, he'll say, you might be home one day and you might feel, you know what? I'm ready to sing. I'm ready to sing. So what do you do when you're ready? When you're ready to sing? Pierre Jasna says, just find a private place. Just find a private place. Go outside. Go, whatever, into a room where no one is. And you know what? Just sing. And even when you're by yourself, you don't have to be the loudest voice. You don't have to be the loudest voice even when you're alone with yourself. Right? Sometimes, again, just if you feel this building up in your neshama, that you need a little bit of shira, that you need a little bit of song, that you know what? I don't need anything right now. But can I tell you? I really want to be held. You know, as adult men, we don't normally, that phrase is not normally in our lexicon. Right. Can you imagine saying to your friends, you know, it's been a tough day, I really need to be held, right? Here's something, you are going to lose a lot of friends very quickly, right? Very quickly. It doesn't work. It doesn't work. That's right. Just finished a six pack, and I really need to be held right now. You know, like I say, so so it doesn't really. Right. It doesn't really. Okay, we will say, but you know what? We laugh about it, but chevra, it's absolutely true. There is not one of us here that doesn't have moments in life where the truth is, all I need is to be held. Now, sometimes the incredible part is, when you ask me, who do you need to be held by? The truth is, I don't really want to be held by anyone I know. Right? I know that sounds strange. No, because that's not what I need. It's not what I need, because it was like, sometimes in life, you know, my job is to be strong for everyone else. So the truth is, like, I can't really make myself vulnerable enough to be held by someone else. But you know who I really need to be held by? My father. I just need to be held. I actually don't need anything right now. I'm not like in any kind of existential trouble right now. I don't have any big problems right now. Just sometimes in life, you just want to feel the embrace of your father.
How do you do that?
And the Piagetsna says, we want to say the Piagetsna says, that's the power. That's the power of Shira. You could do it with the chevra. You could do it alone in your house. He says, "Ve'ena tot tzarich litzok bekolos." You don't have to start going ahead and, you know, screaming out loud. You know, you don't have to sing out loud. Ki yesh mi shemenagin rakamia balachash v'kolo nishma b'marom. Because I'll say sometimes all you need to do is to hum your song, and your song will be blaring in the heavens. So I'll say, this is the Piyajetzna on the power of music. Power of Shira is that it puts the neshama in the driver's seat of life. The power of Shira is that it's not the medium to ask for things, it's just the medium to be embraced, to be held. And says the Piyajetzna, all we need to do is tap into this energy, both in the chevra as well as by ourselves, and it amplifies, increases, enhances, and bolsters our relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu in ways we can't even begin to describe. Have a little stop over here for tonight.
Can I get up a song?
Good.
Can I
get
up a song?
I just said something that I was thinking about.
Please. I didn't say it.
It's for you.
So we talked last week, there was a comment that people were asking about secular music. And the Rav said, was talking about if something comes from an impure source. Last Sunday, I was walking, I have a daughter who lives in the Lower East Side of Manhattan, and I was walking from where she lives to the yeshiva's Credit Suisse Hospital. And when you walk, you pass by a very large, imposing church. I have the same exact thought every time I pass by there, which is, I don't feel like, why do I say that? The story is, there are Moshe Feinstein from the Rebbe used to please to come to the church and cross the street and then cross back to avoid walking by the church. Why? Because he felt the tumah, the impurity coming from the church. So every time I walk by there,
right.
So I guess the lesson that I was thinking about, what the Rav said, is just because you don't feel it doesn't mean it doesn't exist.
It's beautiful. In other words, maybe our sensitivities are not in tuned enough. Wow. Right. Just because you don't feel the tumah doesn't mean it's not there. Right. By the way, you know what? It's almost as if, you know what it's like? It's like, imagine for a moment the person is standing under the same roof as a mace, but the mace is behind me. Right? I don't see it. So chances are, right? You ask me, how do I feel? Totally fine. Meanwhile, I'm Tommy Tumas Mace, right there. Right? Beautiful. Beautiful, beautiful.
Rabbi, do you know that there's a professional cutler?
I'm telling you, I think about it every single time I walk by there.
Professional what? Cutlers?
I saw somewhere. Professional,
don't they call those kind of professional guys?
It's a cuddle. Because people want that sense of just someone I don't know. That's why I thought about it.
Make myself
vulnerable.
Right. Right.
Right.
Wow. They drink Bud Light.
What's the shorash of this?
Hisrafkos means like, Rafak means to like wrap around. No, it's parak. Parak means to take apart or to put back together. I think it's Peresh Kuf is the shorash.
This guy's the attachment master.
Cuddle King.
The Cuddle King.
I like it. Have a good night. Good night.
I got to tell this as true. The Ramchal that says that we're in the anteroom.
It's Mishnah Avos.
Yeah. And that's why we were created imperfect.
Yeah. To work on 100%. Yeah, Pirkei Avos.
I enjoyed it. there was a couple of weeks ago in the Parak Torah that you mentioned that a friend find somebody on the rubble.